Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You know you're not right with God, and so you go back out in the world, but you're not happy there. So you come back to church, but you're not happy here. You go back out in the world, and you're not happy there. What's the answer then? Make things right with God. Repent and turn from those things of the world.
If you've walked with Jesus for a while, maybe you've been there. Something in the world enticed you, and you wandered, leaving Jesus for something else, only to find no fulfillment, no happiness, and your relationship, that close walk you once had with Jesus, a memory. But God was waiting to take you back with open arms. He always is. If that's you today, come back home and make things right with Jesus today. Here's more of our opening study in the book of Hosea with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There's some controversy as to whether or not God would ever divorce Israel, but I think as we're studying through here, it's pretty easy to see. I mean, God says, "You're not my people and I'm not your God." That is a division that has taken place. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are sons of the living God.'" God is saying the number of Jews, Israelis, around the world would become like the sands of the sea, but that God would call a people who are not his people, that's us, that's the Gentiles. This is actually a fulfillment, as God rejected Israel when Israel rejected the Messiah and God turned to the Gentiles. "Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head." There's no longer going to be civil war. I believe that this is not talking about when Israel gathered back together again during the days of Jesus. I believe it's talking about the fulfillment in 1948, when Israel became a nation again. There's not civil war in Israel. You don't have the 10 tribes of Israel and Judah. And I believe also, by the way, that there's really not 10 missing tribes. I believe that when the children of Israel left Babylon to go back into the land to populate it, some left Samaria and Assyria as well and went back into the land. So they are all a nation and they're under one head today. "And they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." They, Israel, will come up out of the land because great will be the day of sowing. Now God turns this idea of scattering around and makes it a positive thing, that he's going to sow them back into the land again. He has dispersed them away from the land. He's now going to bring them back into the land. 100 years ago, there were around 50,000 Jews in Israel. Today, there are over 6 million Jews in Israel. God said, "In the last days, I will call my people from the four corners of the earth, and I will bring them back into the land again." God says, "I'll call them from the north, I'll call them from the south, I'll call them from the east, I'll call them from the west, and I will gather them back again, and they will gather together with me in Jerusalem." Literally speaking of Jerusalem. Jerusalem in 1973 became part of Israel again. Before that, it hadn't been. It became part of Israel again. And I believe we're living in those very last days when God once again restores Israel. Chapter 2. "Say to your brother and my people, and to your sisters, 'Mercy is shown.' Bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife." Okay? God has now divorced her. That is Israel. "She is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight, for her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst." Hosea would have every right during their days under their laws to make a spectacle of Gomer, to divorce her openly and publicly. She had returned to harlotry and he now divorces her. Now we take it, as we make our way through this book, it seems that she has left him and that he has divorced her because she left him. And she is now living with other men. She's living with other lovers. And God uses it as an example of Israel, of saying, "I'm going to take Israel and I'm going to strip Israel bare because I am no longer her husband and she is no longer my wife. Verse 4, I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry, and their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who will give me bread and my water, my wool, my linen, my oil, and my drink. Why did she go after these other lovers? Because she thought they were going to provide for her. Why did Israel go after the false gods? Because they thought that they were going to provide for them. And so Israel plays the harlot. We also know that they served Baal Marduk, that Jeroboam actually sacrificed his sons. They made them pass through fire to Baal Marduk. They hideously served other gods. And God rejected Israel and gave them over to themselves. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns. Now, after God lets them go, God says basically, they're no longer mine. I have let them go. I'm not going to have mercy on them. I'm not going to have mercy on their children of harlotry. I have let them go. But God doesn't really let them go. God now hedges up their ways with thorns. What does he mean by that? What does it mean to hedge up your way with thorns? There are paths you are supposed to walk on, and if you have hedges of thorns, it keeps you on the right path. In other words, God's saying, I am going to direct them with thorny paths. So they'll stay on the right way because if they get off the path, there's thorns there and you don't want to be on that path. By the way, there's a third analogy that we could use. You have Hosea and Gomer, you have Israel and God, and then you have you and me and God. This is not only a revelation of the tremendous love that God had for Israel, it's a tremendous revelation of the love that God has for us. That if we turn our backs upon him, God will leave the 99 and will come after the one. The prodigal son, he will restore us to himself no matter what we have done. One of the ways that God brings us back is to line our paths with thorns. As a Christian who knows God and then walks and goes back into the world, and to my shame, I say I know what that's like. I met the Lord when I was 14 years old. When I was 18 years old, 4 years later, I walked away from God for a year. Somehow in my mind, meeting the Lord at 14, I had always assumed that there was something the world had to offer me. I thought there's something out there. I didn't know what it was. I just thought there's got to be something out there somewhere in the world that is going to fulfill me, and I'm missing something. So at a certain point, I went after it. I liken it to bowling. And if you're a good bowler and you like to bowl, I apologize for using this analogy. But it fits so well with me. When I was a kid, I wanted to bowl. I don't know why I wanted to bowl. There's nobody that I saw that was my hero bowling. I just thought, I am going to dig bowling. So when I was in the teenage years, I joined a bowling team, had my own bowling ball, bowling bag, bowling shoes. I was the cool, hip bowling dude. But there was a problem. I hated bowling. Thought I was going to love it. Oh man, if I could just be bowling, if I could be in a bowling alley. Then I'm in the bowling alley. Smoke everywhere. You know, my thumbs wore out. I'm painting new skin on my thumb because all the old skin has been worn off. I got to an all right average, but I didn't bowl very long because I didn't like it. I found once I got into it, this really isn't for me. Now, that might be opposite for you. You may be a great bowler and you may love it, but I guess they're not smoking in bowling alleys anymore. Am I right? So that's a good thing. Maybe I'd like it now. Maybe I should try it. No, I don't think I will. I still bowl once in a while with my older son, but it's more about being with him than it is about actually bowling. That's how the world was to me. I thought there was something out there that I was going to love, but when I got out in the world, God lined my path with thorns. And I really didn't fit in the world. The whole time I was out there, I knew that there was something else, and I knew that God loved me, and I didn't really fit in the world. You ever had that experience? Maybe you have that experience right now. You've walked away from God and you don't really fit in the world. You put on a good game, a good show, but in your heart you know you don't really belong there. You're not really happy and you're not really fulfilled and you're not really satisfied. But you're not really satisfied in church either because you're guilty when you're here. You know you're not right with God, and so you go back out in the world, but you're not happy there. So you come back to church, but you're not happy here. You go back out in the world and you're not happy there. What's the answer then? Make things right with God. Repent and turn from those things of the world. Listen to how God is going to bring Israel and how Gomer was never satisfied with her other lovers. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your ways with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but will not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband. She's never really going to be satisfied, and she will once again turn to Hosea. Now, the incredible love of Hosea is that when Hosea brings Gomer back again, all of her beauty is gone. He's a young man. He goes and finds this beautiful woman, a harlot. She goes back into harlotry. And over the years of living there with other men, with these other lovers, she grows old. Harlotry uses her up. And when her beauty is gone, Hosea brings her back into his life as a demonstration of the incredible love that God has for us. God doesn't love us because of our beauty. God loves us. And he's going to go and bring her back. For she did not know, verse 8, that I gave her grain, new wine, and oil, and multiplied her silver and her gold, which they prepared for Baal. Now, I don't know exactly how this happened. Did Hosea sneak to where she was living and put grain, new wine, oil, silver, and gold? Did he put them on the doorstep, knock on the door, and run away so that her lover opened it up and, oh, look, another package of groceries. And look, Gomer, I got some more jewelry for you. And walk in. Or did he meet with him? Did Hosea meet with her lover and say, I want to provide for her because I know you're not. And so provide those things for her and provide her jewels and silver and gold. Even in her harlotry, he provided for her as a picture of us when we are away from God and God still protecting us and watching for us. Amazing love indeed, isn't it? The love that God is revealing here that he has for us is absolutely phenomenal. Now they turn and they give these things that God has given them, Israel now speaking of, they give them to Baal. And so God decides not to provide for them anymore because they're using what he's giving them to give it to Baal. Therefore, I will return and take it away, my grain in its time, the new wine in its season. And I will take back my wool and my linen, given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. And I will cause all of her mirth to cease. The word mirth simply means laughter. God says, I'm going to take away her joy. Her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, all of her appointed feasts. She's not going to find any pleasure in anything. And I'll tell you, the year that I walked away from the Lord, God brought me to the very bottom. God took away all of my mirth. And I think that God does that, and I'm glad that God does that. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lover has given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals of which she burned incense. She decked herself with earrings and jewelries and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, says the Lord. So it's a picture of Gomer turning now and dressing up and seeking other lovers. That's what Israel has done to God. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. Isn't that interesting? Now as God makes another shift, God had divorced her, but took care of her even though she wasn't his. And then God took it away when she began to serve the other idols again. And now God says, but I am going to allure her. I'm going to let her know that I still love her. Now we know that God one day will restore Israel to himself, yet in our future. And that God is going to allure her. It says, and he will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. And I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. What does that mean? Valley of Achor. Remember what Achor is? Do you remember there was a man by the name of Achor when Joshua is taking the city of Jericho, and all of the spoil of Jericho was to be left alone and buried and just to be given to God. But Achor went in and he found a clump of gold and he buried it in his tent. And Achor's name means trouble. And then they went to fight Ai, and because he had taken that, they lost an Ai. And then God said, you have caused trouble by troubling Israel, and play off of his name. Well, Achor. So when it says here, the valley of Achor, it's the valley of trouble. Now I see this as yet the future from us. I believe we are reading prophecy when we are reading this. And so when God says here in verse 15, and the valley of Achor is a door of hope, I think he's talking about the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a time of Jacob's trouble. And God uses the valley of trouble to open a door of hope, because it's in the middle of the tribulation period that Israel returns to God. He takes them into the wilderness and protects them for 3.5 years. And he says, as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. Now he makes a reference to the youth of Israel. And of course, later on in the book, there's going to be a reference to the youth of Gomer, that her youth is actually taken away. And the day is coming, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. Israel is served and followed God by the law out of obedience. God is their master. But there's coming a day when they are going to enter into a love relationship with him and call him their husband. So God is going to restore himself to Israel again, whom he has divorced, he will remarry. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them. I believe this is a reference to the new covenant, the covenant of the blood of Jesus, the covenant of the cross, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. The Antichrist will come after them. There will be this war. They will have been promised peace by him, but it will be broken, and God will supernaturally take them into the wilderness on the wings of an eagle, protect them and care for them. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. The Bible says in the last days that God's going to cause the desolate land of Israel to break forth with fruitfulness. That's happened. The valley of Jezreel itself has done that. Where it was completely barren, now it is incredibly fruitful. And so look at verse 22 again. And the earth shall answer. In Ezekiel, God prophesies to the mountains and says to the mountains of Israel, you get ready because my people are about to come, and you spring forth and produce flowers and fruit for my people. That has all happened in our lifetime, some of us. And others of us were a bit younger. Then they shall answer, and this is important not to miss, they shall answer Jezreel. God says, where they have been scattered now, I'm going to scatter them in the land. God sows, literally, is what Jezreel means. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. Where God had sowed them or scattered them, now God's turning it around, and he's going to sow her for himself. And I will have mercy on her that had not obtained mercy. What was the daughter's name? Do you remember what it meant? No mercy. Now God says, I'm going to Jezreel her to myself. I'm going to scatter her to myself, or sow her for myself, and I'm going to show her mercy to where there was no mercy. And what was the last one's name? The last son? Not my people, right? Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. So God's going to reverse it all, and they shall say, you are my God. Now, these first two chapters lay out the problem, and they lay out the whole process of what's going to take place. And I'll tell you, it is truly an amazing love when you think about that God is going to take Israel back when she has gone as far as she has gone. It's an amazing love in several ways. Number one, that God is willing to forgive harlotry, having children in harlotry, that God is willing to bring her back in her old age when all of her beauty has been used up by her lovers, which is what Hosea has to do, by the way. Hosea will go and purchase her for literally nothing. She's held by, for a lack of a better word today, she's held by her pimp, and she's worth nothing. And so he goes and he purchases her and brings her back to himself when she has no value to the world of harlotry at all, because he is to demonstrate the love he has for her and the love that God has for Israel. It truly is an amazing love and should speak to anyone who is here that has walked away from God. And there are various states at which people walk away from the Lord. In messages like this, you know, we give altar calls regularly, and I want to give you an opportunity, if you're away from God, to come back to Him. If you're a prodigal son, daughter, to come back to God. But I'm not going to have you raise your hands like I normally do, because I don't know at which state you've walked away from God at. Maybe you're like Gomer, you're out there. You're playing the harlot to God. You're an adulterer or an adulteress to God. Maybe you've just started to walk away. Maybe you've just drifted. And therefore, I don't want you raising your hands. I don't really want to know that. Maybe it's more for me than for you. I don't really want to know that you've been away from the Lord, because I don't know how long you've been away from the Lord. I don't know how far you've been away from the Lord. And I don't want to pass any kind of judgment. Instead, I'm going to give you an opportunity between you and God just to come back to Him if you need to. So would you stand with me and let's pray. Father, we do come before You now, and we take time to set our minds and our hearts upon You, and to really ask the question, are we right with You? And Lord, I realize that there are some here today that this is a perfect picture of them. They have played the harlot with the world. They have turned to drugs and to alcohol and to ungodliness and carousing to try to find fulfillment and satisfaction, but have not found it there. Maybe because You have put up hedges of thorns. Maybe because You have robbed them of their mirth, not allowing them to be satisfied and fulfilled in the midst of this world. Maybe there's others here that really haven't drifted too far. They just know that that's the direction they're going, that they are no longer deeply in love with You. They are no longer calling You their husband, demonstrating that incredible love for You. And I pray, Lord, that now they would come back to You as well. And I want to pray for all of those in this room now who have identified themselves as slipping away from You, no matter what state they're in. Father, we do join together and lift up those who are at a distance from You. We pray that You would reveal to them the incredible love that You have for them, the amazing love. Lord, we're blown away by it. Which one of us would, after our wives had gone into harlotry and bare children and used up all of her youth and her beauty, would go and bring her back to ourselves? And yet that is the very picture that You've given to us. Quite literally, that we can't have gone too far. That You love us so much that You'll come and bring us out of that very thing. And where there may be those who thought they've gone too far or done things that can't be forgiven, we are thankful for the picture that You've given us here of the incredible love that You have. Pray that You bring them back. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.